Learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself and yourself for listening to this tape or CD and or listening to our other Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. Also, may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. This is Shir number 17. We are holding in chapter 35, pasuk 6. Yehi darkam choshech v'chalach lakos u'malach Hashem rotfam. Let their way be dark and slippery, the angel of Hashem pursuing them. The enemies should be stricken in three different ways. One, let their way be dark, but since on a straight, flat road, one may not stumble even in the dark, let it be slippery. Nor will they be able to avoid slipping on the slippery surface and coming to harm by walking slowly with care, for the angel of Hashem will pursue them. Three factors will thus bring about their downfall. Darkness, a slippery road, being forced by the angel to hasten. According to some commentators, as already noted, David recited the present psalm before venturing forth to face Goliath. Thus he says, take hold of the shield and buckler. Since Goliath wore a brass head covering and scaled armor, and he was preceded by a servant carrying a buckler, like says in the pasuk, the previous pasuk, draw out the spear. He asked of Hashem to remove the blade from Goliath's spear and close against them that pursue me. Let everyone bear witness to Goliath's downfall. Finally, let Goliath collapse as chaff before the wind, because the angel of Hashem will be driving him. When the rest of the Plishtim flee, let their way be dark and slippery. David then went on to plead for the downfall of his other enemies, who without cause hid from me the pit of their snare. Which we're going to learn right now. In the pasuk Zion, Ki chinam tamnu li shachas rishtam chinam chafli nafshi. For without cause they hid from me the pit of their snare. Without cause, they dug for my soul. David justifies his plea for the destruction of his enemies. I do not curse them without cause. Rather, they hid from me the pit and the snare without any fault on my part. They dug a trap for me without cause. So let the snare which they dug be in vain. Let their plans to trap me fail. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Tavo'ehu sho'a lo yeda verishto asher Taman Tilkado Bishoa Yipol Ba. Let calamity come upon him unawares, and let his net that he had hid catch him, let him fall into it in a calamity. Just as my enemy hid from me the pit without my being aware of it, so do the same to him. Bring calamity upon him unawares, he should be unable to protect himself. The word Shoa, calamity, designates a terrible evil, a sudden upheaval that causes astonishment and dismay in all who hear of it. Thus the scripture says elsewhere in Mishle, the calamity of the wicked when it comes. Let him be unaware of it until it overtakes him and he cannot escape. David speaks here in the singular, referring to all his enemies as one group. And let his net that he had hid catch him. Let Hashem's punishment come upon him, measure for measure. Let him fall into the same snare that he had hid, and let him fall into it in a calamity. To what can this be compared? Two innkeepers vied for the honor of hosting a very wealthy man. The dishonest innkeeper then made a deal with the coachman who transported the guest from the city. He would pay him handsomely for every important guest he delivered to his establishment. It was usual in those days for the government to billet armored men in different inns, for which the innkeeper was not paid. A certain high-ranking officer found out about this coachman, who conveyed guests to the best places and asked to be taken to the best inn. The coachman said, once the innkeeper discovers that you are an army man, he will not let you enter. He will say that all the rooms are rented out to others. This officer, who carried with him a great treasure, replied, do not tell him who I am. First take these precious possessions to the inn. The terrified coachman did as he was told, and as soon as the innkeeper set his eyes on the treasure, he put aside a handsome suite for the anticipated guest. The The uniformed officer arrived, and the innkeeper suddenly realized what a bad deal he had made here. Why, he had even paid off the coachman for bringing him this guest, but he only had himself to blame. Similarly, David says, "Let calamity come upon me unawares. Let him not anticipate what was to befall him. Let his net that he had hid catch him. Let him fall into it in a calamity." Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. V'nafshi togia b'Hashem tosis b'shuoso. My soul will be joyful in Hashem, it will rejoice in His deliverance. When my enemies fall, I will not rejoice because of their downfall. I will rejoice over my deliverance at Hashem's hand. Pasuk 10. Kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem micha mocha masil ani mechazak mimenu v'ani ve'evyon b'gozlo. All my bones will say, Hashem, who is like you? You save the poor and helpless from him that is too strong for him, and the poor and the needy from him that robs him. Having been saved from the hidden pit that was meant to trap him, and finding all his bones intact, not one of them is broken. David says here, all my bones will say, Hashem, who is like you? You maintain your supervision over the individual. You save the poor and the helpless from him that is too strong for him, and the poor and the needy from him that robs him. Another interpretation refers to the time of prayer. When all my bones will say, when I pray, even my bones are aroused, agitated by my devout contemplation. A subtle interpretation says, sins leave their mark in the bones. So if all my bones say, Hashem, who's like you, is a sign that they are unblemished by sin. Our sages say that the poor and the helpless pertain to the good inclination of man. Hashem rescues it from the evil inclination that is too strong for him. There is no greater bandit than the evil inclination, and you save the poor and needy. It needs help, good inclination from its clutches. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Yekumun Eidei Chomas Ashlo Yedati Yishaluni. False and violent witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. Here David complains about those of his enemies who testify against him that he owes money or that he hoards other people's possessions. He calls them violent witnesses. As the Torah says, if a violent witness will rise up against a man to bear perverted witness against him, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim, there is no mention of this complaint in the book of Shmuel, which means that not all David's troubles were recorded there. David has no knowledge of the things for which he is blamed, and earlier he said regarding those who accuse him, let calamity come upon him, them unawares. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Yishalmuni ra takas tova sechol nafshi. They repay me evil for good, seek a bereavement for my soul. In return for his beneficent deeds, for his prayers for their recovery from illness, they pay him with evil. It makes his soul mourn like one afflicted with an immense sorrow. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Vani b'chalosum levushi sok inesi batzom nafshi filasi al cheki soshu. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with the fasting and my prayer. It will return into my own bosom. When was David repaid with evil for good? When they fell ill and took to their beds, he was pained by their affliction, but they rejoiced at his troubles. With the fasting, the well-known full day of fasting on Yom Kippur, from nightfall to nightfall. A subtle interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. When one who is in need of divine help offers a prayer on behalf of another person who needs the same help, his needs are met first. This may be understood by means of an example. When a petition on one's own behalf is presented to the king, it is proper to be brief. The person is urged to condense his words to their very essence. It is otherwise when one pleads for another, when it is perfectly acceptable to speak at length. The same is true when an appeal is made for God's mercy. Accordingly, David says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting. As a result of my prayer, I would also be helped. It will return into my own bosom. Every Jew is responsible for every other Jew. Hence, all are under obligation to show concern and to pray for an afflicted person, just as David did. If one who can ask for divine mercy for another does not do so, he is called a sinful man. As the prophet Shmuel said, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Hashem in ceasing to pray for you." Pasuk is found in Shmuel Aleph. This pertains to the person whose word is obeyed by the people on behalf of whom he offers the prayer. Pasuk Yudalet, Pasuk 14. Kareya ka'achli hisalachti ka'avel em koder shachosi. I walked about as if it had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down with gloom as one who mourns for his mother. David describes how he would act when someone was ill. I walked about as if it had been my friend or my brother. Back and forth, I asked about him, inquired after his needs, and what I might possibly bring him. I bowed down with gloom as one who mourns for his mother. One mourns more deeply for a mother who always makes her child feel good. Moreover, a father leaves his sons an inheritance, but not so a mother. Pasuk Tezvav, Pasuk 15. Uvitzali samchu v'nesofu nesfu alai nechim v'loidati koru lo davu. When I stumble, they rejoice and gather together. Stricken men gather against me, why whom I know not, they tear me and do not cease. Here David contrasts his conduct with the conduct of his enemies. Instead of sharing and empathizing with my pain as I had done, they rejoice and gather together to watch me limp and suffer. Stricken men, base people, gather against me. Why, I know not. They tear their mouths with loud laughter and do not cease. They will not keep silent. Another interpretation of stricken men gather against me says even limping cripples suddenly acquire legs. They come to see evil befall me. The words velodamu may also be rendered as did not bleed. Dumb is blood. Hence the interpretation when my foes spoke slander against me out of humiliation, my blood drained from my face. If they would have cut into my flesh, they would not have drawn any blood. Pasuk Tes Zion, Pasuk 16. Like profane men mocking, casting scorn, as if feasting on cakes, they gnash their teeth against me. Flatterers, profane men, their flattery is profanity, mock and cast scorn. They find it as pleasurable as feasting on cakes. Thus the Torah says, similarly, they who eat up my people as they eat bread. The pasuk that we learned already in Sefer Tehillim. Some explain the present verse as the direct continuation of the previous verse. Those stricken men gather together with the mocking and scornful profane men to laugh and gnash their teeth against me. Others explain that profane men mocking refers to the lustful who delight in physical pleasures. The stricken men came together with frivolous scorners and flatterers to mock me with their laughter. It is a rule that flatterers can themselves be enticed by flattery. And here David says that they were enticed by flattery to join with the others in mocking him. Pasuk Yuzayin, Pasuk 17. Adonoi kama sira hashiva nafshi miso'ehem ekfir mechidasi. Hashem, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my only one from the lions. David continues to plead. Hashem, you see all the evil they do me, so rescue my soul from their destructions. Calm my soul and give me peace. Let me get far from their destructiveness and mockery. Give my soul rest from the lions who want to devour it. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Odcha bekol rov bi'am otzum alelecho. I will praise you in great congregation. I will acclaim you among numerous people. I do not pray for the downfall of my enemies, only that they leave me be. Then I will praise you in a great congregation. I will acclaim you among innumerous people. All the people who gather together against me refers to those of his enemies, like Ahitophel and Doeg, who said there was no hope for me because I had taken the Ur, that's Bathsheba, and killed the shepherd, her husband Uriah, thus causing the Jews to fall by the sword. I will give thanks for you have proven them wrong. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. Al yismuchu li oyvai sheker sonai chinam yikutsu oyin. Let them not rejoice over me those who are wrongfully my enemies, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Let not those who hate me without a cause rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye to one another mocking me. David speaks about two kinds of enemies. Some openly complain against me, but they are wrong and their complaints are false. They openly rejoice at my troubles, so I plead, let them not rejoice over me, those who are wrongfully my enemies. Others hate me without any cause at all and rejoice against me in private. They secretively wink with the eye. Pasuk 20. Kilo shalom yidaberu ve'alrigei eretz divrei mirmos yachashofon. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. They do not speak peace. Anything and everything they say is not peace. In contrast to these men, the good man is always the source of good tidings. As it says, he is a good man and comes with good tidings. The pasuk that is found in Sefer Shmuel base. The righteous are quiet in the land, serene in the contrast with the wicked who are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest. The pasuk is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. They devise deceitful matters. Based on the meaning of Rigei Oretz as moments of the earth, a subtle interpretation reads, the past is no more, the future is still not here, and the present is at the wink of an eye. Yet they devise deceitful matters from this fleeting moment. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Pasuk 21. Vayachivu olai pihem onru ha'ochor asu enenu. But they open wide their mouths against me. They say, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. They open wide their mouths in mocking laughter. Aha, aha, there is much we can laugh about. They say to one another, our eye has seen that which we very much wanted to see about him. They have hated me all along, and now when they see my steps falter, they rejoice at my trouble. They shout, aha, aha, our eye has seen his downfall. This is not the way of the saint who, when they see others err, are greatly saddened. Pasuk Chavez, Pasuk 22. Ve'isa Hashem, al techras Adonoi, al tirchak mimeni. You have seen, O Hashem, do not remain silent. Hashem, do not be far from me. Turning to Hashem, David says, you Hashem, whose eyes are open to behold the ways of men, you who have seen them rejoice in my downfall, do not remain silent. For I kept my silence. I relied upon you to answer them for me. So do not be far from me. I need your supervision and guidance, for I am in a very great trouble. Pasuk Chof Gimel, Pasuk 23. Rouse yourself and awake from my judgment to my cause, my God and my Master. Pasuk 24. Judge me, O Hashem, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. David sees himself as standing before a judge, together with his adversaries. He pleads before Hashem, judge me in accordance with your righteous justice and exonerate me. He even asks that Hashem rouse and awake to his cause by also helping him present the arguments against his adversaries. Let Hashem be my judge, he pleads, not anyone else. Let him judge me according to Tzidkos, his charitableness and mercy. My adversaries would then no longer continue to say, aha, aha, we have swallowed him up. As we learn in the next pasuk, Chof Hei, Pasuk 25. Al yomru belibam he'och nashenu al yomru b'lianuhu. Let them not say in their heart, aha, we have our desire. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Do not let them even rejoice over me in their hearts, to say to themselves, aha, we have our desire, our soul has rejoiced. Let them not say, as they do now, we have swallowed him up. Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk 26. Yevoshu v'yachperu yachdot semeichei ro'osi yobishu voshes uchlimo hamagdilim oloi. Let them be ashamed and humiliated together, those who rejoice in my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and disgrace, those who magnify themselves against me. Some of his enemies rejoiced at his troubles, but they did not arrogantly taunt him to his face. So David says, let them be ashamed and humiliated together, for their shame will not be everlasting. Those, however, who did magnify themselves against me, let them be clothed with shame and disgrace. Let disgrace cleave to them all the time, like a shirt that clings to the body. May it never leave them. But David does not say that he desires their death. Let them be ashamed of their deeds and repent. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. Yoronu ve'yismuku chafetzei tzidki v'yomu samid yigdal Hashem v'chafetz shalom avdo. Let them shout for joy and be glad, those who delight in my righteousness. Let them say continually, magnified be Hashem who delights in the peace of his servant. Others wish them well, and David says to them, let those who delight in my righteousness, who want to see me exonerated, shout for joy and be glad. In contrast, one who suffers shame and humiliation is beset by melancholy. Let them say continually, magnified be Hashem who delights in the peace of his servant. May Hashem take up his cause and save him from every evildoer who dares magnify himself against him. As a result, when the people see how Hashem protects him, they will be inspired to serve him, to magnify and exalt him. They will say continually, magnified be Hashem who delights in the peace of his servant. Pasuk Chavches, Pasuk 28. Ulishoni teged tzidkecho kol hayom tilosecho. And my tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. They will continually praise and exalt you, and I will speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Some explain that they who delight in my righteousness will say, magnified be Hashem, who delights in the peace of his servant. But while they will only say it upon seeing my deliverance, I will speak of your praise all the day long, even prior to my deliverance. Perek Lamed Vav, chapter 36, pasuk 1. Lamnaseach le'eved Hashem the David, for the conductor of Psalm of David, the servant of Hashem. In the present Psalm, David speaks about divine providence. One must not be led astray by the words of the scorners and the wicked who say in their hearts that the world is abandoned, there is no justice and no judge, who do not acknowledge any master over them. David begins by referring to himself as a servant of Hashem. He knows and acknowledges his master, and that he repays the man in accordance with his deserts, reward for the good and retribution for the evil. David, the servant of Hashem, although he was the great David, and the greater the man, the greater his temptations, yet was he the servant of Hashem. He was the servant of Hashem in his deeds, in opposition to the view that it is sufficient to serve Hashem in one's thought without the need for action. As a faithful servant of Hashem, David proclaims that he will attempt to expose the rebellious murmurings in the heart of those who deny Hashem. Similarly, we find that Yeshua was jealous for the honor of his teacher Moshe when Eldad and Medad prophesied inside the camp, as we find this in Chumash Bamidbar. One who truly loves will expose the hidden motives of those who assail the Beloved One. Pasuk Beis. Transgression speaks to the wicked one within my heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. The evil impulse, the wicked one tells the wicked man not to be in fear of God before his eyes. The evil impulse is called the wicked one and is also called sin, as it says, sin couches at the door. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. A related reading says, the evil impulse says to the wicked man, you are righteous and upright and have nothing to fear from Hashem. Pasuk 3. Ki hechalik elav be'enav limso avono lusno. For it flatters him in his eyes until his sin be found and he be hated. The evil impulse flatters the sinner by making sin appear beautiful in his eyes and causing him to search for the evil deed until he finds it. This leads him to despise its opposite, namely the good deed. Another interpretation is based on the teaching of our sages that when a righteous man faces and overcomes temptation, he stands on a higher plane than one who totally avoids temptation. However, this only holds true for the man of the most profound piety, whose spiritual power against the evil impulse is very great. It does not pertain to common men. Thus the scripture says here, for it, the evil impulse, flatters him in his eyes until his iniquity be found and he be hated. The evil impulse speaks words of iniquity and deceit, telling the person to commit transgression thereby, to subdue his passions and learn to hate sin. Hashem may give a man great abundance which he perceives as a benefit, but it is actually a detriment, as thereby his iniquity be found and he be hated. Hashem gives him well-being because he hates him, so as to deprive him of the excuse that he robbed and exploited out of poverty and distress. The subtle interpretation is based on the teaching of the sages that the evil impulse incites, rises on high and accuses, descends to kill. Accordingly, the Torah says here, at first it flatters him in his eyes, making sin attractive. Then the evil impulse rises to accuse him, hence until his iniquity be found. Then it descends to hate him and to take his life. Another reading says, for he, the wicked man, flatters, finds attractive his path of evil by seeing some good in it. He does not see it for what it is, iniquity and hated. In other words, he does not want to see the sinful aspect in iniquity. He may say, for instance, if I lend money with interest, I will donate part of the profit to charity, or else I will not study Torah, lest through the acquisition of much learning I become arrogant. Similarly, our sages have taught, do not aspire to sit at the table of kings. This may be interpreted simply as follows. Do not lust after wealth in order to be able to benefit the poor, for your table is greater than the table of the wealthy. If you will only conduct yourself uprightly, then all others will receive their sustenance in your merit. As the Talmud says about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Hashem said, the whole world is fed on account of Chanina my son, and he is content with a measure of carobs. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Divrei piv oven umir mochodel lahaskil lehetiv. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise to do good. David spoke of the wicked man's thought, and now he warns against being misled by what the wicked man says. For the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. By his words, he falsely appears as a man of piety and sanctness, and the proof of his pretense is that he has left off to be wise, to do good. Were he true to his preaching, he would endeavor to gain knowledge and improve his ways. He has left off to be wise. He has ceased to accept admonition to improve his ways. The evil impulse in man lures him with pious words, but the words are vanity and falsehood. The result is that he has left off to be wise to do good. As our sages explain, that one who slaughters an animal on the Shabbos is liable for having transgressed the prohibition to paint the blood of the animal stains red. The evil incarnation is liable in the world to come for having painted over sin and making it appear in beautiful colors. It's also held accountable for destroying the soul, corresponding to the slaughterer taking the life of the animal. He has left off to be wise to do good, but he has not left off to be wise in how to be evil. As it says in Yirmiyahu, they are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. A good example is the power of speech. It can be utilized for wisdom, but the wicked man mouths obscenities. The evil impulse has the power to seduce a person, but only because the person has left off to be wise to do good. Had he been wise enough to do good, he would not be prone to seduction by the corrupting words of the evil impulse. Pasuk 5. Oven yachshov amishkovo yisyatzeh al derech lo tovro lo yimos. He devises iniquity upon his bed. He sets himself in a way that's not good. He does not abhor evil. When the wicked man lies on his couch, which is a time for contemplation, thinks of committing iniquity. Then during the day he sets himself in a way that's not good. He does not abhor evil. There is nothing good in his ways, and he never despises evil. He not only contemplates doing evil, he sets himself in a way that's not good. he clings to a life of wickedness and does not turn back. Hashem has granted him the power of free choice, but he makes no use of it. He follows the path of evil, and he does not abhor evil. On his bed at nighttime, he devises iniquity. He debates with himself, he invents arguments to show that the way that is not good is the right way. He remains in his evil ways, and the proof is that he does not abhor evil. He lies on his bed thinking evil, and the moment he rises, he immediately sets himself in a way that's not good. He does not abhor evil, for thoughts lead to action. Why is it that he sets himself in a way that's not good? He does not abhor evil. One of the hallmarks of the righteous is that evil is despicable in their eyes, and so they are careful not to commit transgression. It is otherwise when one does not abhor evil. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Hashem b'ashamayim chasdecho emunoscha ad shechokim. Your loving kindness, O Hashem, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. David praises Hashem for his loving kindness towards the wicked. Your loving kindness, O Hashem, is in the heavens. It reaches all the way to the heavens. Hashem sustains the world through kindness by providing sustenance for every living creature, to each in accordance with his specific needs. And he does so without the expenditure of much effort. He even provides bread to the wicked who do not believe in divine providence. This indeed is charitable kindness. The evil inclination flatters the person by extolling the good of this world. Please turn tape. The reward given by Hashem is not present here and now. It urges, who can make a man see what will be after his death, while the pleasure of sin is immediate? David says in refutation, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Hashem is sure to grant reward in the future. Never mind that we do not tangibly see it in the present. Your loving kindness, O Hashem, is in the heavens. You remove loving kindness from the creatures below on account of the wicked and elevate your faithfulness away from them. It reaches to the skies instead. In opposition to the claim of the wicked man that there is no fear of God before his eyes, David says, your loving kindness, O Hashem, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. There are two forms of divine providence. One is the natural pattern by means of fixed finite laws that regulate the phenomena, as it says, cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night will not cease, a pasuk that is found in Bereishis. In the language of the Torah, this is called faithfulness, as it says, for the word of Hashem is right, and all his deeds are done in faithfulness. This pattern of laws is established in the heavens, as it says, in the very heavens you establish your faithfulness, and they govern up to the heavens. Then there is the non-constant pattern of divine influence via miraculous intervention as called for by circumstances. This pattern too is fixed, but in the skies, which are higher than the heavens. That form of providence is called loving-kindness, chesed. Some hold the mistaken opinion that there is no connection between these two forms of providence. That is, the pattern of laws, faithfulness, is restricted to the heavens and is absent in the skies, and miraculous intervention related to human actions is restricted to the skies and is absent in the heavens. But the Torah teaches that the pattern of nature, faithfulness of laws, is related to human actions according to their good and evil deeds. When men improve their deeds, there is a corresponding response in the music of nature, and the harp then comes near with drums and dancing. As the Torah says in the portion of Parshat Chukosai, if you walk in my statutes, I will give you rains in their season. Pasuk is found in Chumash VaYikra. The Creator has linked the natural world with the miniature world of man and his free choice. There are, as it were, two harps tuned to one another, and the melody played by the larger harp depends on the details of the musical arrangement set up in the smaller harp. Thus the Torah says here, your loving kindness, O Hashem, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. That is to say, the wondrous pattern which accords with human actions, an expression of loving kindness, is also found in the heavens, and the natural pattern of fixed laws is also found in the skies. Thus, miracles can take place for the sake of those who fear Hashem in accordance with their deeds. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7. Tzidkoschor kaharare el mishpatecho tohom rabo odom v'hema toshia Hashem. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep, Hashem. You preserve man and beast. Your righteousness is too immensely lofty for the understanding to grasp, like immense mighty mountains that defy human efforts to scale them. Likewise, knowledge of your judgments is like the great deep, which no man can see through to the very bottom. Hashem, you preserve man and beast. You pass judgment on every living creature, as it says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the end, the hand of every living creature will I require. Your charitableness, the charitableness that Hashem extends to his creatures, is like the mighty mountains. Just as men can climb even the highest mountain part way, so it is possible to fathom at least a small part of Hashem's charitableness. It is otherwise regarding your judgments, which are like the great deep, just as no man can ordinarily even begin to descend into the great ocean depths, so man cannot have even the slightest grasp of Hashem's justice. One difference between an open miracle that stems from the skies, such as the splitting of the Red Sea, and a hidden miracle that remains within the natural pattern, such as rainfall, is that an open miracle is observed and acknowledged as such by everyone. A hidden miracle is not eminently perceived as a miracle. It is covered up. Correspondingly, the Torah speaks here of both tzedakah and mishpat. Your charitableness refers to the open miracles. They are called tzedakah, acts of charity performed by Hashem purely as an expression of his will, without reference to the domain of natural law. Your judgments pertain to the natural pattern called mishpat, the domain of law that characterizes the order of nature, which is affected by human actions, the good and the bad. Appropriately, your righteousness, the open miracles, is like the mighty mountains that are visible to everyone, but your judgments, the hidden miracles, are covered up. Like the great deep, the reason for the hidden miracles is that you preserve man and beast. On the one hand, man is like the beast. On the other hand, he has the power of free choice, and Hashem does not want to deprive him of it. If all things were open miracles, it would deprive him of the power of free choice. You preserve man and beast. When Hashem helps a person, he also helps his animals. Thus the Torah says, Hashem will make a division between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. The passage is found in Chumash Shemos. And there will be no barren male or female among you or among your cattle. It's found in Chumash Devarim. Our sages comment on the present verse as follows. Your righteousness is to your judgments, as the mighty mountains are to the great deep. Just as those towering mountains are without end, so the reward of the righteous is without end. Just as the mountains can be seeded and they yield fruit, the same is true of the righteous. But the wicked are like the great deep that does not produce fruit. Your righteousness, when Hashem rewards a man for performing a mitzvah, he rewards him in accordance with his stature and merit, which are like the mighty mountains. But when Hashem judges a human being, your judgments, he sees him as debased by his sin, cast down to the great deep. Man has within him an animal side and a uniquely human side, and Hashem preserves both the man in him and the beast in him. Rabbi Shua ben Levi went to Rome, where he saw columns covered with rugs to protect them against hardening in the cold or cracking in the heat. He then came to the marketplace and saw a pauper covered only in a mat. Some say that it was half a donkey wrap. So he said, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, referring to affluent who are so abundantly provided for that they can afford to shield their statues with rugs. Regarding the pauper, he said, your harsh judgments are like the great deep. Those whom you thrust down, you demean utterly. When a man is found worthy in your sight, you extend to him your charity and raise him higher than the mountains. But when a man sins, you collect from him and cast him into the depth. Whenever Rabbi Yochanan saw an ant, he would say, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, when he saw fish being drawn from the sea, he would say, your judgments are like the great deep. What he meant was that the ant has its food readily available, while man must go down into the deep to seek his nourishment. You preserve man and beast. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, this refers to people who, bereft of understanding, act like beasts. Man's main purpose is to humble himself before Hashem, blessed be He, as it says, but I was brutish and ignorant. I was as a beast before you. It is part of that purpose to refine the animal side of the body through self-abasement, and then the entire person, body and soul, becomes perfected. In this sense, too, you preserve man and beast. Our sages have said further that man is preserved by means of the beast, that is, through offering animal sacrifices. But this brings atonement for one's sins. Repentance brings atonement, and the penitent is elevated from the level of beast to the level of true humanity. Having now become a transformed creature, it would be improper for him to suffer punishment for what the animal has done previously. In the sense that Hashem preserves the man alongside the animal. Man, beast, and Alexander the Great. Alexander of Macedonia ventured beyond the mountains of darkness and the kingdom ruled by King Katsi. He came to the country of Cartagena that was made up entirely of women. They came forward to meet him and said, if you will wage war against us and are victorious, your name will become known throughout the world as one who destroyed a province of women. If on the contrary, we are victorious against you, your name will be known throughout the world as one who was defeated by women. You will then be unable to show your face before any other king. Before Alexander departed, he wrote on the gates of the city of Cartagena, I, Alexander of Macedonia, was a fool until I came to the country of Cartagena and learned wise counsel from its women. Now, all this is brought down in the Gemara Masechta Tavit. He then came to another country in Africa where the people welcomed him bearing golden apples and golden pomegranates. What is this? He said. Do you then eat gold in your land? And they replied, was there a lack of bread or other foodstuffs in your own country that you came all the way here? Whereupon he informed them that he had not come to take of their possessions, but to learn their ways and their laws. At that moment, two men appeared before the king for judgment of their conflicting claims. One said, my lord the king, I purchased a rune from this man, and in the course of digging it out, I found a treasure. I told the man to take his treasure, for I only bought the rune, not the treasure. The other said, just as you are afraid of being punished for stealing what is not yours, so I'm also afraid. I do not want to take the treasure. When I sold you the rune, I also sold you everything in it. So the king turned to one of them and asked if he had a son, and he asked the other if he had a daughter. They answered in the affirmative, and the king ruled, let the two marry and the two together partake of the treasure. Alexander expressed his astonishment, and the king asked him how he would have judged the case in his country. The reply came, I would behead this one and that one and take the treasure of myself. Said the king, does the sun shine in your country? Does rain come down in your country? Alexander answered in the affirmative, and the king continued, perhaps there are small cattle in your city. When Alexander again answered in the affirmative, the king cried out, blast that man, on account of those cattle does the sun shine upon you, and the rains come down. On account of those cattle are you spared. Thus it says here, Lord, you preserve man and beast. Man is preserved on account of the beast. The Jewish people say to Hashem, blessed be He, we are men, but preserve us as you would the beast. A man is duty-bound to feed his cattle before feeding himself. Thus it may happen that an entire generation stands condemned in the eyes of Hashem, yet it is provided for on account solely of the beast. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Ma yokor chashtachon Elakim uvnei odom betzel kanafecha yechsoyim. How precious is your loving kindness, O Hashem, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. David answers the question why the righteous suffer, namely, how precious is your loving kindness. If men would understand the splendid good that is hidden away for the righteous, they would not be eager for the good that does not last. If it were that the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings, by keeping their mitzvahs in this world,
they would be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house in the world to come. In this world, loving kindness is at times bestowed equally upon the righteous and upon the wicked, but precious is your loving kindness in the world to come. There it is reserved solely for the children of men who take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They alone are truly children of men. The others are like the beasts. This explains why David mentions here Hashem's name, Elohim, which means Hashem is judge. In the world to come, everyone receives his due in accordance with the judgment passed upon him. Our sage's comment on the present verse as follows. Whosoever blackens his mouth by toiling at the Torah in this world will welcome the shine of God's radiance in the world to come. As it says, black as a raven, his appearance is like Levon and white, excellent as the cedars. Pasuk is found in Shir Hashir. Said Rabbi Tanchum, the son of Amhilai, when one starves himself in this world for the sake of studying the words of the Torah, Hashem keeps him sated in the world to come. As it says, they are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you make them drink of the river of your pleasures. Rabbi Yitzchok said, each and every tzaddik has a world of his own, and a garden of Eden of his own, as it says, and you make them drink of the river of your pleasures. Pasuk 9. Yeruvim v'deshen b'secho v'nacha adonecho sashkem. They are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you make them drink of the river of your pleasures. Pasuk alludes to the world to come and the world of souls, the house of Hashem, where they were married to have knowledge of Hashem. This good is not followed by the bad, and that fullness is not followed by hunger or thirst. It is a very precious kindness beyond all estimation. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Ki imcho mekor chayim b'orcho niru or. For with you is the fountain source of life, in your light we see light. For with you is the source of life. Life in the world to come does not cease, just as a source of water does not cease its flow. Life is not followed by death. If your light, we see light. That light is not followed by darkness. For with you is the source of life. The source of supernal life is not something distinct from Hashem himself, but is with you. Your light is the first light of day one, of which it says, let there be light, as found in the Chumash Bereishis. In that light we see light. Another interpretation says, what we perceive by means of our senses would be impossible if not for the divine light that gives us the power to grasp the little we do perceive. In your light we see light. It is not possible to see the presence of Hashem's power except in His mitzvahs. Through the performance of the mitzvah we activate the divine light within us, which is covered over by the mundane, and we then merit to see the divine light. Thus, the scripture says here, in your light within us, which is usually concealed, we see light, the abundance that flows into us from above. Some explain the present sukkim as depicting Hashem's kindness and righteousness and judgment everywhere. Your loving kindness, O Hashem, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your judgments are like the great deep, as when you split the waters of the Red Sea, and they stood congealed in their places to preserve man and beast from destruction. By saving the Jews from their terrible oppressors, you revealed your judgments. Precious is your loving kindness, O Hashem, and therefore the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Those who trust in you are found worthy of being abundantly satisfied and to drink of the river of your pleasures. For with you is the source of life. Hashem is the life of the whole world, but his life is not additional to himself, since he is the source of life, as it says in Yirmiyahu, for they have forsaken the source of living waters, which means thought, wisdom, and understanding. The source of man's life, his soul, is in Hashem, and the Torah in its entirety encompasses the name of Hashem that are within the light of the Torah. Through Torah study, the human soul thus cleaves to its primary source. In your light we see light. Life in nature, from which all living things benefit, emanates from the true source of life in Hashem. physical life, light is the spark of the spiritual life, which is the true light and source of all lights. Thus the Torah says, come, let us walk in the light of Hashem, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. But you that cleave to Hashem your God are alive, every one of you this day, a pasuk found in Chumash Devarim. True living is cleaving to Hashem, and the true light is the light of Hashem and His Majesty. One cleaves to Hashem by keeping the commandments of the Torah. For by doing so, a man draws from the source of life, and he then comes to see the light of Hashem. The Midrash relates that the disciples of Elazar said to him, our teacher, tell us whether we rejoice in the light of Hashem or in the light of Yerushalayim. Said Rabbi Elazar, we rejoice in the light of Hashem. Blessed be He, as it says, Hashem is God, and He has given us His light. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11, Meshoch Chasecho Liyod Echo B'Tzidkoscho LeYishrelev, who continue your loving kindness to them that know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Bestow kindness in this world upon those who know you. Enable them to pursue knowledge and to keep the commandments unhindered by the practical concerns of life. Others perceive here a plea regarding the world to come. The singer says, continue your loving kindness towards the sages who occupy themselves with Torah learning and observance of the mitzvahs, and who seek knowledge of Hashem. Favor the upright in heart who walk simply in God's way, who have not yet attained to knowledge of Hashem. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Al Tobaini Regal Gavo Vyad Rishorim Al Tani Dani. Let not the foot of pride overtake me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. David prayed for the welfare of the community, and now he prays for himself. Let not the foot of pride, men who treat me with arrogance, overtake me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away from my present position. Do not permit my arrogant foes to entangle me in war and thus leave me no time to serve you. Do not permit the hand of the wicked to disturb me in my retreat, when seclusion I seek to learn your ways. Another interpretation says, let not the foot of pride overtake me. When I will be free of pride, assuredly the hand of the wicked will not drive me away from you. Then I will not be aroused to sin, for pride is the source of all evils. The first letters of the words out of any regular gaiva spells esrog. Some people take pride in owning a beautiful esrog on the pilgrimage festival of Sukkot, but their hearts are far from being imbued with the proper devotion that observance of the mitzvah of the four species calls for. The pilgrimage festival, the regal, is then turned into an occasion for indulging one's self-pride rather than being as intended a time for purifying the heart. Others purchase an esrog because that is God's will, and through purchase of the esrog they purchase perfection. When a man is overcome by pride, he is assailed by his detractors. Thus Moshe said, and what are we that you murmur against us? For that Hashem hears your murmurings which you murmur against him, for what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Hashem. Accordingly, David says here, similarly, let not the foot of pride overtake me, followed by, let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. Once I have vanquished pride, no critics will assail me. Let me not possess an arrogant heart, nor as little as a foot of pride. Let me not show pride in any manner of walking, in my bearing, or in other ways. If I must be driven into exile, let it be by your hand. Let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Sham naflu po'ale oven dohu v'lo yachlukum. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are thrust down and are not able to rise. Elsewhere, you already extended your loving kindness to me in the past. The workers of iniquity fell when they rose up to wage war against me. They were thrust down and could not rise. Do the same for me in the future. David pleads for the workers of iniquity to fall there, wherever they happen to be. This will keep them from coming into the Holy Land to wage war against us. Let them be thrust down, and let them never again be able to rise. The opposite is true of the tzaddik, as it says in Mishlei, but the righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Another interpretation says, when a man falls by willfully committing a sin, after a time it is difficult to rise again, for the forbidden comes to be seen as permitted.
Perek 37, chapter 37, pasuk 1. The David al tizchar bamreim al tekanor be'oshe avlo. A psalm of David, do not fret yourself because of evildoers, nor be envious of against the workers of iniquity. David admonishes the Jewish people not to be impressed with the capacity of evildoers for perpetuating evil successfully. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity to match their iniquity. What they do will not endure, and there is no reason to envy their temporary well-being. Their very success is to their detriment. Neither are you to bait them, lest you put yourself in danger. David says further that a man must not question or second-guess the divine attributes, the way Hashem conducts the affairs of this world, for such questioning can only lead to perplexity and a weakening of faith. Do not fret yourselves because of evildoers when you behold their serenity, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity to do like them. Pasuk Beis, Ki chachotzer mehera yimolu chiyerek desha yibolun. The day will soon be cut down like the grass and withered like the green herb. You may behold the success of the wicked, but their downfall will be swift. They will soon be cut down like the grass and withered like the green herb. Some will perish and be cut down quickly like grass. Others may last for a while like green herbs which retain their freshness, but wither in the end. When you see the wicked prosper, do not say to yourself that you will take a penny from him and prosper. For their prosperity is temporary, and they will soon be cut down like the grass. The soul of the Jew is cut down by sin. It is severed from its source on high and withers. Accordingly, our sages say that the wicked, while living, are as the dead. So long as they retain their sap, the wicked continue to endure a moment longer. When the sap is gone, they wither. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. V'tach b'Hashem v'asei tov shchon eretz u'ei emunah. Trust in Hashem and do good. Dwell in the land and cherish in faithfulness. Trust in Hashem means service of the heart and thought, and do good means concrete deeds. Dwell in the land and shepherd in faithfulness means teach Hashem's way to the multitudes wherever you happen to be. By teaching others, you are like the shepherd guiding his sheep, as it says, "And I will give you shepherds to my heart, who will shepherd you with knowledge and understanding." It's a pasuk found in Yirmiyahu. It means serving Hashem through the power of speech. Do not conduct yourselves like the wicked who confidentially perpetuate evil, but trust in Hashem and do good. Do good and trust in Hashem, both rather than relying on trust alone. But do not imagine that you will automatically eat the fruit of your good deeds. Thus the Torah says, do not say in your heart, "For my righteousness Hashem has brought me in to possess the land." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Devarim. And it says that King Chizkiyahu had not acted properly to rely on his own righteousness when he declared, "Remember, O Hashem, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart." It's found in Melachim Beis. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Do not go off to seclude yourself in deserts or in sparsely populated villages, but dwell in well-populated areas where you'll be able to teach the people. Thus we find that the land Eretz denotes an inhabited place, as it says, "I, even I, have made the land and created man upon it." The pasuk is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Cherish faithfulness, sustain and make the faith prosper by increasing the number of its adherents. Disseminate its teachings and strengthen its power. Trust in Hashem and do good. Through trust in Hashem, a man becomes worthy of being inspired with esoteric knowledge, even if he does not have the proper background for such knowledge. Thus, the letters of the word betochon spells tov chen, good esoteric knowledge. Ches nun is the abbreviation of chokhmah nistora, hidden knowledge.
As the Torah says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and chayn tov rather than silver and gold, a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Trust in Hashem, but trust alone is not enough, so do good. Thus we find that the wicked too trust in Hashem, that their evil deeds will succeed. An evil doer may act like Zimri, yet he expects to be rewarded like Pinchas. As it says, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the Kohanim priests teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money, yet they will lean upon Hashem. It's a pasuk found in Micha. Such trust is meaningless. David speaks out against the opinion of the wicked that Hashem has forsaken the land, a pasuk found in Yechezkel. Do not emulate their conduct, but trust in Hashem with purity of thought. While they work their iniquity, you do good. In contrast to their arrogance, you dwell in the earth. Be humble as the ground is lowly, and in opposition to their deeds of violence, cherish faithfulness. When you dwell in the land and interact with other human beings, see that you cherish faithfulness. Be honest in your dealings. This matter is urged by common reason, for no man should desire that which belongs to another, but be content with his own. Another interpretation says, in the practical affairs of this world, dwell in the land. Act as if today you are working for another man, and tomorrow he will work for you. You will then have less pleasure in attachment to what you do than if you were preoccupied with caring for your own needs. In all mundane endeavors, regard your efforts as a means of serving Hashem, as working for the sake of another. Trust in Hashem and do good. Even if you have no good deeds to your credit, do good. For Hashem is compassionate and He will show you mercy. Cherish faithfulness. Highest faith already includes the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Thus we find that the prophet Habakkuk summarized everything in a single commandment when he said, "The righteous man lives by his faith." The Medrash says, "Trust in Hashem and do good." Said Hashem to David, "If you see that I benefit the wicked, let not your heart fret over this. Continue to do good." This Medrash is a call for repentance, as it says in Hosea, "Forgive all iniquity and accept that which is good. If I bestow my beneficence upon the wicked, I will assuredly do even more for you who have trusted in me, who occupy yourselves with the Torah, and who practice justice and charity. I will surely grant you the good." Some say, trust in Hashem to help you fulfill the mitzvahs, to do good. Even when one lacks sufficient knowledge, Hashem will help him fulfill the commandments properly. Compare David to a laborer who all his life toiled for the king but was never paid. He worried constantly about receiving compensation for his work. On occasion, the king hired another laborer for a single day, whom he plied with food and drink, and then paid him in full. The steady worker thought to himself, "If that one who worked only a single day has received all this, I, who have worked so long and so faithfully, will assuredly be rewarded." From then on, he rejoiced in his heart. Simon David says, "You have put gladness in my heart, since when their grain and their wine will increase."